You're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. It's more fun to believe.
Third year bonus.
Hey everyone, thank you for watching and listening to another third-year bonus of Me and Paranormal You. This is your buddy Ryan Singer. I hope you're doing well. I'm doing well on this afternoon, I guess it is, as I record this. Lots of things going on in the paranormal world. As you are well aware, there are, you know, PAC, political action committees being made by, you know, well, a singular political action committee being made by Dr. Stephen Greer. For, you know, to move disclosure, true, honest disclosure forward. There is, you know, more paranormal television than you can wrap your brain around. Archive 81 is an interesting show that I'd recommend checking out on Netflix. It just came out recently. There is Expedition Bigfoot. I think they're gearing up for season 3 to be coming out soon. That's probably, you know, the most enjoyable, you know, Bigfoot show I've seen to date. Now, granted, I haven't watched all of them. I still need to, you know, just dive headfirst into Finding Bigfoot. I've never gotten around to, River Monsters or anything like that. But, anything like that. I mean, no connotations intended necessarily. I got to watch it. I'm almost finished with the book, Secret Cipher of the Ufonauts, written by Alan Greenfield. And it has just sent my mind a whirling and sent my body a twirling, as the Avid Brothers might sing, something along those lines. If you're familiar with that group, which they're great, been listening to the Avid Brothers for a long time now. I am, you know, trying to figure out this Black Lodge versus the White Brotherhood, the Great White Brotherhood thing. Again, no racial implications in the names of these things. And it's been, you know, I was even talking to my therapist about it. I mean, talk about just, you know, going all in. I talked to my therapist about a lot of paranormal stuff because of developments that are happening. Also, I was up until about 3 a.m. last night going through footage of the Post Town documentary, and I'm super excited about a lot of the things that we've got there and, you know, putting together that documentary for you. Also, the stand-up comedy special. I have a call tomorrow or today as you're listening to this to try to figure out, you know, where we're at in that schedule. It looks like I got, you know, a ton of... I mean, my freckles are really coming through on my forehead, and that's a scar right there in the middle. That's a microphone scar for me performing on stage, and I cut my head open on stage. Bashing a microphone into my own head for some reason. Trying to emulate like, duh. And then like, yeah. And then it was very onomatopoeic. You know who that's for if you're listening. I'd like to, you know, read to you some, I was writing about this whole assumption of the good versus evil today. And I think instead of just me, you know, blabbering on about it at first, I think, you know, oftentimes I get my thoughts more concisely expressed when I'm sitting here doing my free writing. So, you know, bear with me as I read this for you, because I think this will launch our discussion and to all things paranormal, because I do believe they're directly related to all of this stuff. So it starts off with an ask. Okay, so let's assume that there are two forces at war for the fate of humanity. Let's also assume these two forces have been at war a very long time. One is good and one is evil. This has to be the case if there are only two, which speaks to the duality of our nature, or of the nature of our world that we're currently living in anyway. That means one of two outcomes from their war have been playing out throughout the ages. What exactly are they fighting for? Is it control? Is it power? Is it wealth? Those seem to be the big three things that influence all wars, battles, or struggles. Or maybe it's access. Maybe that could be added to the list. Why does anyone or anything choose the side of evil or bad? I've never met anyone who wanted to grow up to become evil. Are wealth, control, and power that persuasive to make people or other things choose the darkness? We would have to say yes, assuming that this war is actually being waged. Again, that is the conceit going into this. I'm not saying one way or the other for sure that that's happening. The bigger question is, what is ultimately at stake? What is the prize? Is it immortality? Wouldn't excess wealth and power get boring after a while? You always hear the argument against heaven being that it would get boring rather quickly. I think this stems from our intuition of knowing that these extremes of state of being would become dull. This tells us something rather important, doesn't it? It tells us that constants are not what nature intended for us. Heaven is a constant of bliss and joy. Hell is a constant of pain and suffering. We, as it stands now, are not built to experience eternal constants of states of being, I would argue. We are not meant to be static or stuck. We are meant to change, sway, even evolve. So many people talk about evolution as if it is a past tense specific event. I wonder how many amongst us consider it is actively playing a part in our lives still. Does our acknowledgement of it change it? Anything observed changes its behavior because the observer is now actively part of the thing it is observing. Is the same true for evolution? And I mean evolution of all kinds, physical, mental, or spiritual. Revolution is closely tied to evolution for a reason. Is this knowledge about our nature and our effect on evolution known to some? And that is what this battle is all about. It makes me think that it is. What more powerful knowledge could an individual possess than the affecting ability of their own evolution? When we think of it this way, it becomes simple but very important to understand. It is not a new concept to say we can affect our future by doing work here in the present. Churches, ideologies, and philosophies are all built on this premise. But what if it is much simpler than we think it probably is? To know how easy it is for everyone to fundamentally change the nature of their own being would be scary to anyone who wishes to keep everyone stuck or static right where they are because of the benefits they receive from it. There is no incentive to keep this knowledge hidden and maintain the beautiful status quo, as they would call it, if they weren't benefiting from it. So they now have that incentive. But what always hangs me up here is if these people or things know that we are in control to some degree of our own evolution, why do they choose to stay static themselves? That is what confounds me. Unless they are so consumed by or intoxicated with the power and wealth, they forget why they are even doing it. I just can't believe anyone or anything that knows they can evolve or transcend or however we want to frame it would willingly not do that and ensure others did not either. It seems to contradict what knowing this knowledge even means or what impact it would have on that individual who knew it. Meanwhile, according to our earlier assumption that this battle of good and evil is actually happening, there is the side of good that is fighting to make us all aware. That just seems more logical to me and seems like the side we should all be on. So, you know, I never check for like grammar and stuff when I'm free writing. I just kind of go with it. So some of it may have been a little choppy, but I think that's not the point. The point is that We're operating under the conceit, under the assumption that this battle of good and evil is in fact occurring right now. And like I said, the very confusing part of this is if you have this knowledge, and this is under the assumption that the key, you know, the key part here of this whole discussion that I'm getting into right now is the knowledge that we can evolve, that we are part of our own evolution, physical, spiritual, mental, all of it. And that when we are enacting or when we are being a part of and consciously affecting that very thing, this evolution, we can steer the ship of our evolution, so to speak. That's the assumption here, right? This is the big chip that's on the table that this whole fight is about. If I had to guess, right? This is a guess. And people have written about this in similar ways. And Greenfield even touches on this with the battle between the Black Lodge and the Great White Brotherhood. And there's a lot of talk about freeing ourselves from these trappings, et cetera, et cetera. But what if it's, you know, fundamentally just all that means is it's just pointing to our evolution, right? And where does this evolution lead us? And where should we be aspiring to evolve to or transcend and become? What does that look like? And what does it even mean? There are gurus and there are prophets, quote unquote prophets or whoever who are out there, you know, espousing all their different ideas about this. And, some of these people, if not many of these people have a finger on the pulse a little bit better than like someone like myself when it comes to the ultimate fate and the trajectory of what the human being should be striving towards or is ultimately headed for if given the right tools and pieces of, knowledge and understanding. But if you know this, if you know how good, and this isn't just to say that it's human beings either, the person or thing, right? I think that's important terminology, whether it's, the traditional term euphonaut or entity or alien or interdimensional being, whatever it is. If you know this, if you know that you are protecting the knowledge that we are actively engaged in our evolution towards something bigger, better, grander, whatever it is, more free, how do you then become stuck yourself, like I read? It just seems like, why wouldn't you do it? I understand that power, wealth, and control can be intoxicating and, ultimate power corrupts ultimately, they say. But don't you think this knowledge, the inherent, the truth at what's at the heart of this knowledge, don't you think that kind of just trumps everything else? Don't you think that overcomes the ego, the individual greed, and the want for such things, these physical trappings? I would like to think that it does. So either these things are much more persuasive and intoxicating than I'm giving them credit for, or what I'm arguing is the big chip on the table, this knowledge of evolution and our ability to partake in it actively, is not the thing, right? Because if that is the thing, it would seem so foolish to not partake in that thing and get to where you know you could go, but you're trying to keep everyone else from getting to. Because if everybody knew that, is it a game changer? But I think the key here is that it's simple, that it is not nearly as difficult as we may have believed in the past when we've thought about this, or it's not as difficult as we've been taught that it is by other people who maybe they are pretending, or maybe they are posing as gurus or, teachers, etc., trying to convolute the whole thing, trying to make it a lot more messy than it is, because it becomes so complicated that it becomes very difficult to achieve at that point, because very few people are going to dedicate every minute of every hour of every day of their life to doing this evolution, this transcending of soul, spirit, body, mind, consciousness, etc. I don't know. My gut feeling tells me that it's probably a lot easier than we think. That's not to say that it's super easy, right? I'm saying it's probably easier than we think it is. And that would explain the great efforts that are made that the dark forces, the quote-unquote dark force. Again, we're under the assumption that there's a great war between the dark and the light happening here. This would explain to the great extent that the dark side goes, you know, it would explain these extreme measures they take to keep us from understanding that we're behind the wheel, right? And that we can drive this vehicle a lot further than we think we can. We have an all-wheel drive vehicle. Meanwhile, we're being told that, you know, we've got a tricycle on our hands. Energy efficient, electric, all-wheel drive vehicle. You know, nothing that, although we do a pretty good job of, who knows. Anyway, I don't think our soul's ascension is dependent on destroying the environment. That's not what I'm trying to say in that metaphor. So when you consider these things, you consider and think, okay, well, let's assume all this is true. And well, the good news is that there is the good side, right? There are the people or things fighting for the side that they should be, that we'd all like to think we would also choose if given the opportunity to choose so, which I believe we do have that choice if this battle is actually occurring. It's hard to wrap your brain around this big cosmic war. And, you know, Wilcock and his whole crew, they, you know, with the secret space program and the war between the secret space program and the space program and all these blah, 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 blah. He did a good job of like tapping into a lot of this stuff. I mean, because it's such big, I mean, it's Star Wars, really. I mean, it's just Star Wars, you know. You know, the dark side and the force, right? It's, you know, Lucas nailed it, potentially. And so when you look at it in that way, I think it's pretty easy to understand which side you want to be on. You want to be on the side of the force, right? You want to be on the good side. And that's just something I'll probably never understand, is how you could know this to be absolutely true and you could still make the choice to stay essentially in the same state you are actively trying to keep everyone else stuck in. I mean, can you be ascended or more evolved if you are profiting and benefiting from others not being ascended or more evolved? And do we need to remove the adjectives from this evolution or this evolutionary process? Maybe it's not good nor bad, it just kind of is, right? And some people are like, well, this is the way it is. I'm gonna try to get my bread buttered. I'm gonna try to get my bread buttered while I can. This is the way it is. Well, I'm gonna get my bread buttered. That's what I'm gonna do. Maybe that's how they think and how they talk. I don't know. You know, I doubt it. So what does this have to do with, you know, other paranormal phenomena and other things that we're experiencing? I think, you know, quite simply, I think all of this ties together and I think it's all part of the same thing. Excuse me. And once you realize, or once we all realize, not you specifically, I'm talking general you, once we all realize that paranormal phenomena is in fact very real and it's not unexplainable, it's just reality, we start to realize that there's a lot more going on in the world, right? And maybe this is why the paranormal and conspiracy theories have intersected so much in the last few years, because there is a great spiritual awakening. There seem to be a lot of people tapping back into their intuition and getting back to the heart of the matter, quite literally. And maybe once they realize that all this magic that's actually in their life and is something they can tap into actively, it's a glimpse of this evolutionary process. And understanding that, you know, Sasquatch could be an interdimensional being, that there are aliens, that we're not alone in the universe, and that, you know, this physical form is not our final form, you know, rendering death somewhat irrelevant in the big scope of things. I'm not saying that our personal relationships here with people on Earth aren't very important and valuable to us. Obviously, it plays a very important part in this whole sequence, or it wouldn't be included. That's not what I'm not trying to be dismissive of life when I say this. We were talking last week about, like, are we even alive, right? And that ties into this as well. So if we understand that death isn't real, and we understand that we're not alone in the universe, and then throw on top of that, sprinkle a little, hey, you're in control of your evolution to a very active degree, meaning you have a hand in it. And to be quite honest, you know, the idea of, you know, I don't understand the evolutionary process from a scientific point of view, from a traditional scientific point of view, other than believing that, you know what, all these really smart people figured out this thing is happening. I'm going to listen to them, and I'm going to read a little bit about it, but I don't need to become a scientist, right? There are people who already did the heavy lifting. And you know what? I'm going to do all of your research. How about that? Maybe that's the new phrase. Instead of do your own research, maybe it's, hey, I'm going to do all their research. I'm going to benefit from someone else's research. So what you have here are these glimpses. The paranormal are glimpses into this greater truth that is unfolding and that's been present the whole time. I think they're good keystones, right? And as soon as you start getting into the paranormal and start just investigating, or maybe just reading about it, or just going down YouTube rabbit holes, you quickly understand how prevalent it is. Everywhere. There are things happening everywhere. And there is so much compelling footage, audio, video, photographs. Not to mention, to me, the number one thing when it comes to evidence is people's personal experiences and their testimony of such. Science doesn't rely on any of that. They want the hardcore evidence when they are forgetting the most important piece of evidence, and that is the person who has been affected and witnessed, experienced the thing. They saw it, they felt it, they heard it, they whatever, right? That to me is the biggest piece of evidence in the paranormal world. So when it comes to looking for validation from the materialistic scientific community, skip that. Because what you have here is, quite frankly, an astounding, overwhelming, beyond the shadow of a doubt, mountain of eyewitness testimony and personal experiences directly relating to the paranormal that cannot be ignored, should not be ignored. And on top of that, it should be all that any of us need. The catch with the paranormal is, oftentimes when things have been taught to us to be impossible or unbelievable or fairy tales, we then need to experience it ourselves to realize it's not all of the la-la land stuff, right? It is actually real. It's actually happening. It's here. It is part of the fabric of our reality. If we didn't have that built into our culture, that all of this is woo-woo and it's all made up and mythological, there wouldn't be such a struggle to wrap our brains around it. To me, it's that simple. And we wouldn't need to see the thing ourselves, right? I'm very fortunate in this life where I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of friendships. I've been traveling the country for nearly 20 years. I've met so many people. I've created so many wonderful, beneficial relationships, mutually beneficial, I'd like to think. I've had so many good times. All of these people I've met have a father. I think we can assume that, right? Or a mother. They have one or the other, right? They either have a father or a mother. Their DNA came from somewhere. I have personally met, I don't know, out of all the people I've met, if we had to go for a total number here, and I had to guess a percentage of the total number of people I've met in my life, what's the percentage of that number of which I have met that person's, one of their parents? I would say the number is maybe 5%, maybe, probably more like 2%, right? When they tell me stories of their father or their mother, guess what? I don't think to myself, do they really have a father or a mother? Now, okay, maybe this isn't the greatest example in the world. Okay, maybe this isn't the bulletproof eyewitness testimony of the paranormal should be all we need for evidence, case closed kind of metaphor that will shock the world. But I think you get the point. I think you understand what I'm getting at. I know that they have a mother or a father. I believe them. It's not crazy to me because I understand the world we live in. It's a reality that people have parents. Many of these people also have a dog or a cat. They've told me stories of their dog or cat. I've never met their dog or cat. Maybe I got to see a quick little photo of their dog or cat. But even without seeing the photo of their dog or cat, I would understand, yeah, you have a dog or cat. Or people who tell stories of, I saw a mountain lion, I saw a cougar, I saw a bear, I saw a wolf. This crazy thing happened. This raccoon was in my trash and it was sitting there and it wouldn't eat the leftovers that I cooked, but it would eat an old shoe I threw away. Like, you know, whatever. I don't sit there and think to myself, oh, I wonder if this is real, because I know raccoons are real. I've seen them. They're obviously everywhere. Now, I'm not saying Bigfoot are everywhere and that we've all seen them, but I think you get the point. People aren't being questioned about the authenticity of the events they're describing or the experiences they've had, because these are all things that are accepted as part of our real world. When you get into the paranormal, these are the unaccepted, the not real part of our world, right? When we know it, quite in fact, is very real. So if you consider that, if you consider the mountain of eyewitness testimony and personal tellings of stories, in the absence of a body of Sasquatch that scientific labs have been studying, and are you going to sit here and tell me you don't think they've got a body? Are we going to go conspiratorial with this? But honestly, I can't believe I'm just now realizing this. You're going to sit here and tell me that they don't have a Sasquatch body? I think we all agree and assume and know as truth that they have alien bodies, you know, at like a base bases, probably multiple bases, secret locations somewhere. You're going to tell me they don't have a Sasquatch body? You're going to sit here and tell me they don't have a Sasquatch body? Now, granted, we don't have a lot of former military people coming out and saying that they saw a Sasquatch in a tank or in a, on the 15th floor underground at Wright Patt Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio, my hometown, which, I should just buy a house in Dayton so I can, have a home base close to where all the crazy shit's happening. So you're going to tell me they don't have a body? You're going to tell me that there's not a Sasquatch being studied? I believe there is, and I have nothing, no evidence to tell me that there is, other than I believe they've got a body. They probably got a fairy trapped in some kind of electromagnetic jar container. You don't think they do? You don't think they got ghosts in little pods somehow being trapped through magnets? I know they do. I know they do. See, that's the... I know they do. Now you start getting into some Alex Jones territory. You start getting really angry and upset about it. Start screaming, juice boxes are making... I'm not going to finish that one because that one was so crazy that he said years ago. It's awful. They've got a Sasquatch body. You can bet your bottom dollar. And they've got other creatures probably as well. Now, the suppression of the paranormal, I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. I'm not willing to go that far and say that, the information about the paranormal and life after death and creatures unknown or unclassified by mainstream science, in our phylums, I'm not saying that it's a conspiracy to suppress all of this information. But what I am saying is that it is quite possible that some of this, if not all of it, is being withheld. And where is the disclosure about all that? I mean, we do hear disclosure a lot, obviously, about UFOs, and rightly so, and I think it's important. But why, right? Why would be the question. Why would you suppress this information? Well, you would suppress it if it gave everyone a glimpse into the ultimate nature of reality, which is much grander than all of us have been taught for so many years and for so long. I should have put this up higher so I don't have to lean over. I'm sorry about the noise here. I'm just going to adjust this so I can sit straighter. So, if you go back to the original assumption of this episode, that there is a battle between good and evil, and evil is trying to keep us from understanding our true potential and the true nature of our reality that is limitless and all-powerful, it may behoove you to also keep out of our purview these other things, namely the paranormal, about especially ghosts and aliens, knowing that we're not alone and that physical death isn't the end of all things, that speaks directly to a limitless, universal, intergalactic essence that we all are in possession of. And this consciousness that we've got ties all of these things together. And quite possibly that is why it is so difficult to get the mainstream scientific world behind the paranormal. Are they being guided? Are they being led to focus on and exclude certain things from their consideration by the dark forces that have very powerful control over institutions and and other things. You could posit they do. Now it starts to sound like, you know, the one world order, the cabal, et cetera, et cetera. And if the assumption of this article or article, if the assumption of, you know, what Greenfield is talking a lot about in Secret Cipher of the Euphonauts and what we're talking about here today about the battle between good and evil, if there is a battle of good and evil, obviously, you know, it's been going on for a long time, like I said, and it is quite intense. And over the years, it has evolved in the way it has conducted its battles, or its battles have played out. And how do you go and find, which avenues do you go and find to try to get more people, to grab more people's attention, or to trap more people easily, to be stuck in the mire of materialism? Clearly, the dark side is materialistic. And that's just not me, like, saying the paranormal, we're the open-minded ones. We're on the side of good in this battle of good and evil. But clearly, materialistic science that laughs at, won't even consider the possibility of all these very magical, mystical, supernatural things, clearly they're being influenced by the dark side that wants to keep us here, stuck in the 3D world of materialism. It seems like it would be likely that that's the side of the fence they'd fall on, right? And they might not even realize it, but through the educational system in which they were educated and taught, these tenets, the foundations of this point of view that perpetuates the current society are embedded inside of these educational systems, therefore perpetuating themselves over and over again to the point where you don't even realize where they came from, where the source or where they started. That is possible if you assume that this war is happening. On the other hand, and I'm going to tell you, the other hand also has some valuable marbles in it. This isn't a very outweighed thing here. This isn't like I'm like 96% the war is happening and 4% the war is not happening. That is not the balance here at all. Because on the other hand, there's no big fucking cosmic war between the Black Lodge and the Great White Brotherhood happening. That's the other hand, right? That this is all just Star Wars, right? And we're just projecting and wanting our lives to have more of a movie feel, more dramatic, because we don't want to just admit that as a very kind of basic creature who doesn't fully understand their capabilities, we've kind of really fucked up in the way we've built everything up and out. And we destroy our environment, that which keeps us alive. We oppress others for differences in skin color or the ascribed gender they're supposed to be having by society's norms. Where there's these animals who have floundered away, squandered an opportunity to build an absolute paradise, and we fucked it up. And it's much easier to blame somebody for that than it is to understand we ourselves are part of this creature, this group of creatures that has performed the ultimate squander. It's pretty depressing if you think about it that way. I am no different from those who have come before, will come after, and currently continue to squander for wealth, power, control, and greed, and for very basic materialistic reasons and joy and pleasure that is derived from these things, that is so short-lived and fleeting that it's laughable. Is it easier to blame the Black Lodge than it is to take personal responsibility for our part and unwittingly being a part of the perpetuation of this problem? Is it easier to blame the Black Lodge or the Cabal for some of the atrocities that we see our human brothers and sisters committing against one another? How could someone do that? Well, they've been influenced by the Black Lodge or the dark forces of the Cabal, because the rest of us wouldn't do that unless we were manipulated. Is it easier to blame the Black Lodge for all of the shortcomings, the problems, the atrocities, and just the downright bullshit that we see happening around us, than it is for all of us to take onus of the fact that we have to come together and have to make change, and we have to do better, every single one of us? We would, but the Black Lodge is kind of blocking our way. See, so that's why it gets complicated. That's why I'm not going to sit here unequivocally and say that there is a great war being battled, a cosmic battle between, you know, dark and light, good and evil. Because for me, it is quite possible that it is the biggest cop-out of all time, the largest absconding of personal responsibility that one could possibly fathom up on a Star Wars type level. But on the other hand, this secret cipher is fucking real, man. Like, wow, that dinged. My computer just randomly went off right when I said that. I think that was a sign that we hit on some truth, don't you think? That fucking startled me, dude. Yeah, the battle's real. Or it's the biggest fucking cop out in the history of time. Either way, I hope you've enjoyed this, a third-year bonus. I know I enjoyed talking with you today. All of the podcasts are now available on YouTube via video. It'll be very rare that one's not up on video. I don't have the home studio set up for in-person interviewing quite yet. I haven't maximized the space to make a really nice video for that. So we're still doing Zooms for the most part, but I'm working on that. I've got some schemes, and I'm probably going to put my Me and Paranormal Tapestry behind me. If you're watching now, you can probably see that, plus some other things. Try to make it, you know, visually appealing. Anyway, got some great interviews coming up. Darcy Santaforth coming up next week. The week after that, my new buddy Matthew Jackson from Paraholics is coming up. So I'm going back to Post Town at the end of February, end of this month. I'll be back in Post Town doing some more filming. I can't wait to share some of that with you once we start getting this doc, you know, put out. It's going to be coming out around the same time as the stand-up comedy special, so that's all TBA. TBD, both of those, I guess. Crystallize is out. Thank you to everyone who has written a 5-star review. I appreciate you. If you write a 5-star review for Crystallize, which is available on Android or Apple, send me a screenshot of it. You get entered to win giveaways, which we randomly select. We'll be doing kind of like a, not a raffle necessarily, but I guess kind of a raffle. But you don't have to pay anything to enter. So thank you for everyone doing that. I hope you're enjoying the app. We're excited to be bringing you more and more improvements and things like that in the future with the app. It's really fun. My cousins have worked their ass off, and I appreciate everything they've done. And we're very proud of what we got so far, but we want it to be so much better, and it's going to get there soon. RyanSingerComedy.com's got tour dates. Ryan Singer Comedy on TikTok. Rysing on Instagram and Twitter. Me and Paranormal You on Instagram, and Me Paranormal You on Twitter. There's a lot going on. A lot of social media is happening. But yeah, if you like the Mindcast, tell a friend. Also, patreon.com/RyanSinger. I've got two new levels, one for $20, one for $11. Those are two new levels. Obviously, you're getting more stuff at those levels. Thank you to everyone who's at the previous levels of $1, $3. And I think there's still a couple stragglers from the old tier system that are hanging in there as well. I appreciate your support. It goes a long way in helping me keep the lights turned on around the Mind Cave I really, really do appreciate that. So thank you. I love you. I hope you love yourself. Go check out the Patreon page. Lots of fun stuff is happening over there now. And early releases of episodes happen over there as well. So, so go check it out. And I appreciate it. And I hope to see you on the road sometime. If not, I'll see you at the watering hole on the astral plane.